Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
From the San Francisco Bay Area, it's time for Live from the Bay with Joey. Here's Joey.
Hey, everybody. How are you? Welcome to Live from the Bay with Joey, part two of a series that we're doing. Pagans and Christians, oh my, this is part two, so we're back. So join us here tonight. I have with me Lori Bruno. Of course, I'm here. I think so, at least. And Phil Wyman, to explore this new part and this episode. Before we get started, we have some cranking hot topics that I want to go over, some interesting newsworthy items that deserve or perhaps do not deserve our attention. You decide. So you know what time it is.
We're just going to crank it up,
To crank it up. So I'll cover one or two of these topics. Then I'm going to invite our invited guests, Lori and Phil, just to give their 5 cents on the topic, what they think of it. And then we'll get into part two of our series. So, you know, one story that's been happening is having to do with tight end for football player NFL Aaron Hernandez with the Patriots. And a very sad story. You know, I don't know what to think, really, because I was kind of disheartened by it. And, of course, here I am on the West Coast hearing about it. And, of course, it's something that's taken place on the East Coast. I just hope that it is not true what we're hearing. And I just don't know. I just have these mixed feelings, and I just don't know what to think. So what I'm going to do is I think I'm going to ask Lori to join me on this one. Are you there, Lori?
Yes, I'm right here.
So give me your 5 cents, what you think about it. I mean, it's pretty sad, isn't it?
Very sad. But first,
yeah.
I would like to give blessings to everybody out there.
Yeah.
And as I say, put away the negativity.
Right.
You see, people, there are many people that get into the position of stardom. And when they get into that position, a lot of them are not equipped spiritually to deal with it, okay? And in so doing, they get caught up in the negative energies that are out there. Now, this is Mr. Hernandez. He's been doing a lot of little negative things right along. Finally, it culminated in this terrible act. I'm not saying he's guilty. I'm not saying he's innocent. That has to be proven by the courts of law and evidence and DNA. But should he be guilty? What possesses a person who has such fame and good fortune to do such heinous things? I'll tell you what it is. A lack of faith, a lack of love of God or goddess, and the training of simple moralities. It's not there. It's not there. They have forgotten it somewhere and have been lost within themselves of thinking that they are above the law of humanity. This is
wow.
Where the training has to be. People who receive stardom, even in the acting and all the writing, acting, whatever career you're in, that brings you fame and fortune, go back to your simple roots. If they were correct, if they weren't correct, then you make yourself find a correct path that is not harmful to other human beings. Drugs, they're all over the world. And 3/4 of these murders that are going on now are because of drugs. Drugs are death. They are death. They take you over and cause you to do the most heinous of crimes. Think very well why you are taking drugs, how you are taking drugs, and the reason that the drugs are out there are to make our people malleable and easy to be taken over. My dear friends out there, put away the drugs. You are being taken over. Let's not do it. Let's be taken over by the light and put the evil things out of sight.
You know what? Amen. That's awesome. You know, I wholeheartedly agree with you. I don't think I could say any more about that. Thank you, Lori. I'm going to ask Phil what he may not have as much to say about this as you. But you know what? People, listen to what she said, and it's really important that we understand this, because all of us are subject to this. We can all, in whatever capacity, whatever we do, our jobs, you know, this radio show, television, anything that we do, we could be infiltrated by negativity and wrong things coming at us. And like Lori said, fame can change people. Fame can really destroy people. And it's time for most people, all people, not most people, all people, I made a correction, right, to walk in light. So anyway, thank you, Lori, and I'm going to bring Phil on right away here. Okay, Phil, I don't know if you're there with me.
I'm here.
Are you there? Okay, great. So I know you don't have that much to say on this, but did you want to add anything?
It's kind of interesting, of course, with Aaron Hernandez, this whole thing going on with him, that we also happen to have Tim Tebow, who's now part of the Patriots here.
Okay.
And so the news out there is that back when they were in college together, that Tebow tried to prevent a fight at a bar that Hernandez got into.
Oh, is that right? I never even heard that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's it's kind of this interesting thing in New England. A lot of people weren't too excited about what we picked up Tebow. Why did we do that? And of course, you know, a couple of years ago, it was all the news was about Tebow. Here's this Christian quarterback. He's out there talking about God and he's doing wonderful things. And then he kind of disappeared from the scene. People in New England didn't particularly like Tebow to start with. They thought he was a little too aggressive about his faith.
Okay.
But now there's this interesting thing, and we've got, you know, a tight end who perhaps has been involved with a murder, and this new quarterback who tried to break up some violence between that tight end and a bouncer at a bar back when they were both in at the University of Florida. That's just kind of an interesting thing. That's part of the news of this story.
Yeah.
But there's no question. Lori highlighted it pretty well that some people
absolutely
don't know how to handle fame or money,
right,
when it comes,
right,
their way.
Right.
And if character isn't developed before you receive those things, then life definitely becomes more of a mess.
Right. Right.
So.
Well, and you know, without trying to sound Christianese or anything like that, because I don't want to get into that, but you know, the scripture does say, to whom much is given, much is required. And I think this comes across on any path that we may be on. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew, if you're a pagan, if you're a Christian, if you're this or that. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
If you're given much, there's going to be much required of your life. And I know Lori agrees with that wholeheartedly. I know you agree. I agree. So anyway, on to a new topic, and I'll come back to you, okay?
Okay.
So, folks, my next topic that I want to go over is something that I heard about a couple of weeks ago with regards to the Kardashian family. Okay, so, you know, I had a great comedian on, Judy Tenuta, a few weeks ago, and she just didn't get it. You know, here she is exposing Hollywood. She said, I just can't imagine how these people are getting these extreme salaries, and what are they doing? So the whole Kardashian family, I think that the news was that they had signed a three-year, I guess a three-year contract, is it? I think, if if I'm not mistaken. Correct me if I'm wrong. But, you know, in the neighborhood of $40 million. Wow. I'm just thinking, you know, that's pretty extreme. I know Lori probably has some thoughts on it. My thoughts are this. You know, take that money, whatever it is, and utilize it for the good. And you know, and I don't mean necessarily, my thought is not necessarily in doing things that are going to give you a tax write-off or that look good for your career. I'm talking about things where you really, where the rubber meets the road. Being able to give to the poor, being able to reach out, being able to go up to somebody and say, you know what, I feel led to do this, and give me your hand, and I don't want you to say anything, just give me your hand, take a check, whatever it may be, fold it up, I mean, obviously you want to write it first, fold it up, put it in their hand, and let it go. You know, do things anonymously, maybe without them even knowing who you are. You can always, you know, I always remember one time I was in dire straits, and this one person sent me, I don't know, I needed like $150 to go see a dentist, and I didn't have the money at that point. And all of a sudden, anonymously, I got a check in the mail for $150. It was unbelievable. But anyway, that's what I'm talking about. Let's see what Lori has to say about this, and we'll bring her on right now. Hey, Lori.
Hello, Dad. I've lived
I've
lived like that all my life, and Pastor Phil knows my ways in the city of Salem. And a lot of people know how I live. I do things anonymously. Nobody knows. I see children in the street. I know their fathers and mothers are going through terrible times, and some of them can't even afford an ice cream cone. And I just say, here, you didn't have ice cream today. I know that. Here's money. Go have ice cream. I've done that all my life. It doesn't matter, all right? There are people that come towards you and think that they are entitled now. And I'm not saying, I have seen this happen, that they're entitled, that they don't want to work, they don't want to do anything, but they know there's a soft touch here. I've seen them do it. I know who they are. But still, I'll give, because I feel like, well, it's not me that's the fool. It's them. So I will still continue to give no matter who people are. I know where my heart is. I've lived like this all my life. But I remember when I was left with practically nothing in my life. I know what that feels like. Now God's in heaven. God's in heaven. All the forces of light have been good to me. Therefore, I will share the bounty that I have. I will never refuse anybody. I see a kid crying in the street. I'll say, hey, here, you go get something. Children, but you know, this is where I've been all my life. I've never changed. To live is to give, and to give is to live. There's a very good book out there called The Go-Giver. I think people should read it. It's by a man called Baum or Blum. I have it in the shop there. It's called The Go-Giver. And not just The Go-Getter, it's The Go-Giver. Do something with your life. This is the way I feel very strongly about that. And I know Pastor Phil's the same way.
Yeah, awesome.
Give
Thank
back
you.
To humanity. Give back. You don't have
That's
to, it's not a tax write-off. It's a give time. It does come back. And I've seen money come right back to me, sometimes double and triple.
Yeah.
And I will share my bread with everyone. I will share my bread.
You know, that's really quite, I think if people hear that, and you and I have talked about this before, about it a few times. As we give, it says, give and it shall be given unto you.
Absolutely.
And, you know, as you give out, it comes back. Now, I'm going to tell you something, Lori, and here's a true confession. When I haven't given, and I don't need to tell people who I give to and who I don't give to.
When I haven't given,
my life doesn't go as smooth. I can tell
Absolutely.
You that right now. It does not go smooth. And you know what? This is what I believe. I believe you will hold back on what is rightfully for the kingdom, what is rightfully for people and creation, and you're holding back what you can give.
Right.
You know what? That money is going to come out of your checkbook whether you like it or not. It's going to come out
yes.
some other
way. Oh, yes.
It's going to come out some other way. You know?
That's right.
And people don't don't get that. But I think that when you start giving, just like you do, like Pastor Phil does, like I do, like everybody else out there that knows does, your life really is blessed, you know? And I know, and I know for a fact that in what you do, you've had many of that your way. And it continues as we give. You know, it never stops. We don't give to, like, I was talking to somebody and he was like, oh, well, you know, me and my wife give because we want this and we want. It's like, no, man, you're missing the principle. Right. You know, you're going to give. You want to give because you know that there is something inside of you that's going to get joy out of it. You know,
that's
like
right.
what you said about that child, you're walking down the street, you see a child, and that child doesn't have an, you know, they're sad. They don't have an ice cream, and you feel led to do that.
Absolutely.
What happens to you? What happens to you when you do that, Lori? When you give to that child, what happens?
You feel that your heart is lifted. You walk
Absolutely.
With a light inside of yourself.
Right
and
on.
You know
yep.
something? You know that there is a you know, my mother always used to tell me, my father and mother, you know, sometimes people come to you and they look like bums and ragamuffins and blah, blah, blah. And you say, I'm not going to give to them. All of a sudden, think about this. An angel or a force of light can appear as anything. Not
oh,
just a white
yes.
shimmering figure.
Oh,
it can
yes.
appear as the lowly person with the, can you help me today? Absolutely. I can and I will. If I don't have it, that's another story. But the gods in the heaven and all the creatures of light, the angels,
yeah.
always have manifested money to me whenever I have needed it.
Right.
And I was, and then I share my bread. You share your bread, it comes back to you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Eat alone.
Oh, yeah.
My father said to me this years ago. Eat alone, you die alone.
Yeah. Wow, powerful words, yeah?
Eat alone, child, you will die alone. He told me that when I was a little girl. And every time one of my friends was there and they didn't have enough for ice cream, I had enough for two. Or I would split the candy bar in half. I would split it in thirds. Whatever. I would never see another child stand there with their little faces looking.
Yep.
Never.
Yep.
Never.
Yep.
Even an animal. Even an animal comes to your table and looks at you. Feed them.
Right. Good words. I think it's really important to take into consideration what you said earlier. And you know what? A lot of times we don't really realize it. But we can be visited by angels unaware. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something really quick. I don't know if I ever told you this story, and we need to move on because I want to introduce you guys and we want to get into our discussion of the night. And I know that there are people there that are calling in, not only to talk to Lori, but to talk to Phil, talk to myself. But I want to let you know, folks out there, we welcome your calls, definitely for your opinions and insight. But what I want you to understand is tonight is not a night that we're going to do readings at all. I am going to give you Lori's personal phone number that you can call her at home. If you want that, you can call her at Magica. You can call her. Really, tonight we're focused on one thing. But she would love to be able to help you and talk to you. And really, that's... You want to get her number, and I'm going to give it out, and that's really where we want to focus this show on the purpose that we had tonight. And the same with Phil. I'll give his information, and the same with me. I'll give my information. So, but if you definitely have a comment about tonight's show and what we're trying to get across, please, by all means, we want you to call 347-308-8062, 347-308-8062. I do see some callers on hold. You want to hit number one, and I'll try to get to you as soon as possible. We also want to take into mind and consideration, please be respectful. I don't want any hate calls. And if I get any hate calls, I will silence you, and you will be out. So we don't want any of that at all. All we want is great calls and calls that are calls of light. I'm not interested in talking any hate. I don't care if you're a pagan or a Christian or the man in the moon. We're here for one purpose, and that is one purpose. And anything that distracts from that, unfortunately, I'll have to disconnect. So I hope people understand that. Lori, I wanted to share with you really quick. One time I was doing, I was flying somewhere to do a performance. I did the performance and I was waiting in an airport. I couldn't get back home. I had an emergency. I had to get back home. And they said, Mr. Nardone, you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait till your scheduled time, which was like 3 or 4 hours, right? And I'm like, is there anything you can do? And they said, not really. And they said, you could add your name to the standby. And I looked at the standby sheet, and there was like 30-some-odd names. And I'm like, Lord, how am I going to do this? But I put my name anyway. And they said, if something happens, you'll hear your name being called. And the lady looked at me, but she said, you know, but chances are very slim because we have all these other, you know, people waiting. So I'm like, okay, that's fine. 10 or 15 minutes after I sat down, I heard my name being called. And I thought, that's odd, right? I mean, 10 or 15 minutes. So I walk up to the counter, and the lady said, this is really strange, but after you came up here, like within a few minutes, this gentleman all of a sudden came out of nowhere, and he said, I want you to give my ticket, this very ticket that I have, I want you to give it to that gentleman right over there. And she said, and he pointed at you, Joey. And I said, wow. And she said, I said, you know, because I wanted to thank the guy, whoever this was, you know. And she said, he's right over. And she went to point where he was, and he was gone. He wasn't there. He was nowhere to be found. That's happened to me a couple of times in my life. So you know what? I'm in total agreement with what you say. I believe it, but we have to be able to be people that walk in that. As we walk in that, I know you walk in that. I know Phil walks in that. I walk in that. I don't always walk in it. I'm going to be honest with you. There are a lot of times that I don't because of our selfish nature. You know, I try to, but as I walk in that, I'm a better person. And I like bringing joy into people's lives. That's what it's about. Less of me, more of God, more of whatever you believe in. But if you are walking in the path of light, that's what you should really, less of me, you know. So anyway, thanks, Lori. And I'm going to put you on hold for a second. I'm going to get to Phil real quick, okay?
All right. All
I'll
right.
be right back with you.
Thank you.
Phil?
Hello?
Hello. Okay, so you want to give me your 5 cents, and then I'm going to start the show and get the show on the road.
This is 5 cents on $40 million in 3 years for the Kardashians. Go back on the radio. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, the $40 million that we're going to split between the three of us. I'm just kidding.
Right, right.
But,
yeah.
I'm just kidding. But, yeah that $40 million, and I know that if any of one of us had that kind of money, I know without a doubt we would be giving that away to a lot of people that are in need of that. So,
yeah, I just question how something like that is worth $40 million. What, you know, the things we watch and fill our minds with in our society sometimes surprise me. I find that to be one of the sad dynamics that that something of limited social value is of such great value to us.
That's a great thought.
And what does it say about our minds that this is what captivates us? And then what does it say about the culture of entertainment, that something that is of limited value then is going to be pushed simply because it will make the money. That's another scary element. So we create this kind of unending cycle of stupidity.
What did you call it?
Stupidity.
Oh, okay.
An ending cycle of stupidity, of low value, of immorality, or at least amorality.
I see.
It's a scary thought, but it's something that we are pushing, and our entertainment values oftentimes go to a lowest common denominator rather than to something that lifts people up and transforms them.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that because just this past week, Lori and I were talking about the very same thing. So I think we're all on the same page about that. Mm. So thank you. I'm going to silence you right now. I am going to take I'm going to take a call real quick. Let's see if they have something to add to our conversation. And then I am going to introduce you guys, and then we're going to start on our topic, okay? Hang tight. Okay, area code 617, I've got you on. If you want to add something to the conversation, are you there? Hello? Okay, well, I just, unfortunately, I had to silence that person, area code 617-752. I did call for you, but it seemed like you were on another conversation. So we'll get back to you if you want to, if you have something that you want to add. So since part one, we all have a better understanding of our commonalities, misconceptions. But what about those areas that are not the same? That was brought up a few times to me. So tonight, we will explore that. Make no doubt about it, we're not going to sugarcoat it. So what we're going to learn is how to dialogue with Christians without assuming the worst, and also how to dialogue with pagans or Wiccans without assuming the worst. What do both sides really believe, not believe? What are the things that we don't really see eye to eye on? And what way can we better understand each other without insults, offensive language from both sides? All right? Right now, I'm going to give a background on all of us because I think it's really important that you know, and of course, many people know who everybody is, but for those that do not, I will give a background, and I will start with Lori Bruno. Lori Bruno is very well known. She's respected in the pagan Strega community, hails from Salem, Massachusetts, raised in Brooklyn, New York, and the descendants of Italian family, her grandparents, her parents. She is not only an Italian Strega witch, but a high priestess and founder of the Trinacrian Rose Church and the co-owner of Magic in Salem, Massachusetts on Pickering Wharf. She also works in the realm of a psychic, but more than anything, folks, she loves people and helping them out, be it Christians, Muslims, Jews, pagans, or any other. She strives on placing the importance on the respect of all humanity and creation. She practices the old Italian Strega craft, but also relates and works in the spirit of the ancient Magi and respects and understands what both Phil and I speak of in our Christian walk. She is open-minded, welcoming to all who are tolerant. Lori does not appreciate bigotry of any kind, nor schisms that seem to penetrate the world today. She will add her thoughts on our topic this very evening. It is a serious topic, folks, and as a believer in the path of light, she shares deeply in this discussion and will give us examples of areas that the two, the pagan and the Christians, differ on. Phil Wyman, he is the pastor of The Gathering, also in Salem, Massachusetts, a progressive emergent Christian church out of Salem, Mass. A somewhat controversial fellow, not only in his demonstration of his path, but having been kicked out of his former denomination for getting too friendly with the neo-pagans, while at the same time receiving a monetary grant or gift in support of this type of love for others from that same organization. How ironic. Now, not only is Phil a friend to many in the neo-pagan community, he is well placed and liked within the Burning Man Festival community, the Rainbow Gathering community. By the way, currently Phil is active and participates in both. Phil is also a musician, does play worship at his church in Salem. His church is active in the Halloween haunted happenings in Salem in the month of October of every year. So they donate drinks, and they've taken care of a talent stage. They as well provide spiritual direction and readings for the masses. He tends to be drawn to the eclectic thought and practices, and most certainly takes his allegiance to Jesus Christ. Tonight, he will help us understand why Christians and neo-pagans do not see eye to eye on all things, and gives us some ideas on how we can tolerate and respect each other. And lastly would be myself. I'm a singer, songwriter, actor, and a recording artist. I'm a former artist associate with World Vision, which, as you know, has fed children all around the world from third world countries. So I used to hold concerts and make sure that children were sponsored throughout the world. I was born with an innate gifting from the time I was a child. As a believer since a very young age and becoming stronger in my commitment to God as the years progressed, my gifting seems to have been strengthened by my faith. My grandmother had God given strong prophetic-like visions gifted by the Spirit. Understand this, though. The gifting that I walk in is nothing of myself, meaning that this is nothing to do with Joey. It has to do with the presence of the Spirit in my life to reach people, and that's what all of us believe in. I believe personally that as I invoke the name of the Most High, the presence becomes unto me wisdom, which allows me to move into the realm of the Spirit. I come from a long line of believers and preachers, as well as a grandson of Maria Pacelli, who happened to be cousin to Pope Pius XII. Now, as a host of this show, Live from the Bay with Joey, we are a variety talk show to the entertainment community, as well as covering controversial topics and that we do a series around, such as this one. I'm doing one around the Sephardic Jews as well, which is a three-part series as well. So I'm very grateful for this platform that I have been given. I'm open-minded, believer, and a follower of Christ, make no doubt. I make my purpose to exemplify the life, truth, and wisdom of the divine. So 2 months ago, folks, we broadcasted part one, and we wanted to show and exemplify respect and understanding on both sides really amount to. It was a powerful show, and many walls were broken down. We learned many things, including there were former Christians that now identify themselves with more of a Wiccan or pagan path that were touched by it, and vice versa. There were former pagans that are now professing Christians. So we talked with some pagan ministers on the broadcast that were right there and are right there to defend Christians and Christianity that is not filled with a bunch of bigots or they see things just one way, such as Lori. She'll be there to back us up, and she will back up both what Phil and I say. And we met a few of her ministers as well. And then, again, there were some Christians that, by the same token, will do the same thing, including Pastor Phil and myself. And Pastor Phil, as you know, has been active with the neo-pagan community. So now understand that neither side is trading our allegiance or our beliefs. We're simply showing respect and understanding. So tonight, we will continue on some ways so we can understand and respect each other, a continuation of that. But the most important thing is we understand, or listeners understand, what makes us truly different, what we do not see eye to eye on, and the differences in practices and ways to help facilitate dialogue. So we welcome your calls tonight again, 347-308-8062, hit option 1. We will take your calls to add to the comments. However, this is not a program for psychic or spiritual reading. So if you're looking for a psychic reading with Lori Bruno and to talk to Lori personally one-on-one, please contact her at the following number, 978-741-9297. Again, that phone number is 978-741-9297. If you desire to speak to Phil or want to discuss dream interpretation or the gathering in Salem, please contact Phil at the gathering in Salem, Massachusetts at area code 978-744-8444. Again, 978-744-8444. Should you want to reach me on any of our topics, like, you know, our first show or the second show, or in regards to a spiritual reading, please contact me at livewithjoey@hotmail.com. Again, livewithjoey@hotmail.com. All right, so I am going to go back and forth from Lori to Phil. I'm going to ask a question and get their, you know, their opinion or their thoughts on this, and then we're all going to come together too and talk about it. So I guess what I want to know is the difference, what you might think the difference between magic and miracles might be, and that best represented in by prayers and spells. So again, I guess what would be, Lori, what would your thought be the difference between, say, magic and miracles best represented by prayers and spells?
Miracles are magic within themselves, okay? Believing that you can do it, believing that you can walk with the divine to do such good things for people. That's exactly what miracles of magic are, and that's the way I've worked with all my life. It's a joyful thing. And my prayers are something you're asking for. The magic is getting into putting the flower into the earth, okay, and making it grow. That's the best way I can describe it. Is you doing it, you're working with it, you're calling in the deity to help you, all of these things, and to make it work and actually seeing and believing that it can. Not just saying, can you do this for me? No, I want to do it with you. I want to see it happen. Walk hand in hand with the divine. Touch the face of those that created us. That's where the magic and those of the craft believe that we can do it. And if our faith is strong enough. Look, if you have faith, even like a mustard seed, nothing's impossible unto you. And he said that, the greatest magician of them all, the greatest man of magic was Jesus. He knew that faith and keeping yourself in a good way, you do the magic of making things work. Magic is prayer. Prayer is magic. All the things of good come true.
Okay, so here's my question to you. So let's talk about the difference between. I want you to cover what may be the difference between a spell to you, and then I will talk about what is a prayer to me. If we could, because what I want to show is I want to exemplify what the difference is, and then I want Phil to join in on that. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so talk to me about what a spell is. So what I want to know is, I don't want to talk about a Christian prayer right now. I want to know about a spell.
I'm going to
tell you about me. Okay.
The way I do things. I would first of all get a candle, preferably a white one. I would light the candle and I would ask a blessing. And I would then start to say, I need and I will. I believe it. I will it. I see it. I live it. I create it. I achieve it now. I am with you, deity, and you are with me. Was I not created in your likeness? So therefore we will walk together and to create something that will be good. Hear my prayer this night. Hear my spell this night. hear all the things that I will it to be, to free the world of negativity. I light this light to take away blight, to bring about life in its most form of right. You understand? We do our own poetry. That is what I will it to be. Free the world from negativity, free from bigotry. Make this be so we can walk together in peace. That is a spell. That is a spell. You heard me?
Okay.
That's how we do it.
All right.
It's
thank
no
you
mumbo
very
much. Jumbo. It's no mumbo jumbo. It's
no mumbo jumbo.
No,
okay.
No.
So now let me explain to you what I do as somebody that claims to be, I believe that I walk in the path of light and I am a Christian. I don't use formed prayers. So I will not use things that have been written by others because that means nothing to me. Those are words that somebody else has expressed, not my words. So many times what I will do, I could do it in the presence of a candle. I can do it in my own quiet time. I will just come into a space, and I'll invoke the name of the Lord upon me, upon my space, upon what I'm doing. And you've heard me do this before. And I'll say, you know, I'll welcome the presence in. And I will say, become unto me wisdom, and I welcome your spirit in. And then I will touch every, like I will touch, Lori, my ears, and I'll say, Spirit, allow me to hear where your spirit would have me hear. I will touch my eyes. Allow me to see those things that your spirit would have me see. And I'll touch my mouth. Allow me to speak those things that your spirit would have me speak. Sometimes I'll extend my hands and I'll say, allow me to touch those people that you will, that you want me to touch by your spirit. And then I pray over certain situations and I ask for the will of the divine to take over the situation. And I pray and I lift it up. And that's what I do. So there we go. Those are folks, that's right there. You heard what a spell may be and what a prayer, the way I do a prayer. And also when I'm praying for a situation, like for healing, I will pray for that healing of that individual. And many times I will extend my hands. I can actually even sense heat sometimes coming forth from my hands. And I will envision that person, okay? Yeah. I will envision them being touched and healed. So I believe that all things work together for good. I also believe in faith. So, you know, faith is what is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? So basically,
absolutely.
So basically, if I believe, then if I believe that something will be, this is what I will receive. If I walk around in negativity, then that's what I'm going to reap. We when you sow good seed, you reap a harvest of good. So if you do not see good at the beginning, and you see negativity, that's what you're gonna reap. So I always believe in prayer going forth and believing in the best and the best outcome. And of course, unlike Phil doesn't do this. I do this. Many times I will encamp. Say, for instance, I'm praying, Lori. I will call out and I'll say, Lord, I pray for your ministering and warring angels to surround and protect me. And I will call it out even over my, where I'm at the moment, over my habitat, over where I'm visiting, or whatever. And I believe in that. So
Joe,
I believe
the same way. We do the same exact thing, Joe. Exactly what you're saying. You know that I call the angels. You know.
Right.
There's no written fact. And the Magi, which my family are, went ahead and have contact with the angelic force because they are. And the angels were long before any of the isms. They were there at the beginning of all time.
Right.
Yes, and a man sat before me about 3 weeks ago. He could not see out of his right eye. And I did not cure him. But the next day, he started to feel electrical impulses in his body. He wrote about it on the TripAdvisor after he got out of the shop. The next day, he saw, and I told him, by your own root faith, you are healed. I said, because you believe it so, it will be. It wasn't my god or goddess that I believe in. It was a force higher. The Greeks called it the unknown god force. They built a temple even to the unknown god. And that was something that is in history. Yes, I touch my face, I touch my hands very much like you. Because that is how I pray. I don't go by rhetoric. I don't go by the Hail Mary, and, you know, all that. It's the rhetoric. I say, dear Heavenly Mother, Heavenly Father, hear me this day. Cast all fear away. May I walk in the path of light to clear all blight that I can help through you and every force of light. The beginnings of new life for those who come to me. And be making them free from any negativity. It is the prayer you say from the heart. That is what makes it work. I don't do this. It comes to me from that which is divine in the sacred cosmos that was created long before you, Joey, Pastor Phil, or myself. It has always been there. If mankind, womankind, can reach up and touch it, it's there for them to use. It has no name. It has no name. It is there. It is pure light. And the purity of your soul can make the prayer, the spell, the manifestation of goodness. And that's what it's all about. You can give it names, Joey. You can call anything you want. But the power of the light dwells in each and every one of us. And this is what I was saying. Do not touch drugs. It kills the light in you. I'm sorry if I went off. It just gets to me where people put labels on things, prayers, spells. There's no label for belief. Belief is all that there is. Being one with the greatest part of all, the all, be one with them. There is no names. Isms have names. Humanity, to feel the love of God and Goddess or whatever. God, if you want to call it, it's all the manifestation of light. Keep it around you. It'll do the work.
Right. So you know, there is, and I told you this before. You know, we've talked about this so many times before. But you're very different. That's what I liked about you, you know. I discerned, and I hope that's not too Christianese of a word to use.
You know, what is Christianese, my dear? Love
well,
and kindness. What is the old?
Well,
craft?
What I'm
love
saying is, what I'm saying is, I discerned the first time I saw you, and I talked to Phil about this too. There was something different. You know, let's talk about, we're back to prayer. I want to say this. One thing I will do many times, I know that you, in your circle, when you cast a circle, that you use a sword. Now, it's interesting, and some Christians are going to understand what I'm saying, and some people won't. Some pagans will understand what I'm saying. Some pagans won't. I cast a sword, too. Now, I do believe that the sword of the Spirit is the Word. So many times I'm speaking forth the Word, okay? So I'm speaking, you know, it's like I don't need to do wrong to people, you know? Because the Word says that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I don't need to do that. That's out of my hands. But what I'm saying is that the Word is the sword for me, okay?
Yes.
But it's the same idea. And as I'm casting it forth, I'm surrounding myself, believe me, and I'm protecting myself, believe me. And that's the same thing that you're doing. But it's interesting because we're talking about differences. And I think one thing that is most common that folks will understand is you'll notice that neither one of us use any formed prayers. We just don't. We don't use formed prayers. Now, Lori, I'm going to put you on hold. Thank you so much for sharing. I'm going to go back to Pastor Bill. We've got some calls that have come in. Folks, I see you. And I will get back to you as soon as I can here. Okay? Hold on, Lori. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Hello, Phil? Hello? 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 Who am I speaking to right now? Area code 661. This is you.
I am now unmuted, yes.
Okay. Hi, Phil.
Hi.
Okay. So let me ask you. You heard what Lori said about prayer. You heard about what I said about prayer. Now, you and I are we both profess to be Christians.
Right.
So how different is what I do versus what you do, and how different is it than what Lori does versus what you do? So,
I'd like to back up into a place that doesn't have to do either with words that we hear, forms, or a structure. It's not something that's necessarily observable by the eye or understandable by the ear. There's something that transpires within the hearts and minds of people that becomes a distinctive difference that within Christian circles people would identify as the difference between magic and miracles. And yet, I have to acknowledge, even in saying this, there's a place where the definitions may not be as dramatically different as some people would make. C.S. Lewis used the term deeper magic, and in saying that, he was talking about a miracle that happens in the deep recesses of the heart, a place of relationship with God, the movement down through ancient eternity of God weaving his miraculous workings, and it was, you know, that it's called a deeper magic. So there's some place at which these terms meet, but if we look at it perhaps from an anthropological view of differences between some traditional views of miracles within Christianity and more traditional views of magic within paganism, there's a number of interesting things that happen. We may sometimes say the same kind of words, but we may say it with a different kind of force. And even when I say this, it doesn't apply to all Christians, because there are Christians who will not act in the way that I'm talking about, and there are pagans who will not act in the way that I'm talking about paganism viewing, because we really are very complex individuals. But here's some primary things that have been noted. And when I say noted, I've had discussions for years and years with hundreds, if not maybe over 1,000 neo-pagans and witches and druids on these subjects of miracles and magic. It's oftentimes viewed that a miracle, from the Christian perspective, is something that is surrendered to, that the Christian heart calls out to God for help, who performs the miracle and surrenders in the process, saying, and this is oftentimes the case of a miracle, I don't have the power to handle this. I am at a place of inability, but I recognize that there's a God that has great ability, and the heart surrenders and says, help. And that doesn't mean that we are unempowered people or that we're weak people, never working on things that we need to work on. But we recognize that there's a place at the end of our own strength, and there's a God who can answer those things that are impossible to be performed within human power. And we also recognize within our prayers that there is a place where we can be backwards or wrongheaded about what ought to happen. We don't understand things perfectly. And so Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane gives us this model of not my will, but your will be done. And so I'll go to the cross despite the fact that I don't want to do it. And that becomes one of the models for Christian prayer, that we recognize that there's an end of our own understanding. And sometimes there's even a selfishness within our desires, and we need to surrender to God. It tends to be, though, when I say that, not all Christians think that way. Within the Word of Faith circles, there's a tendency to view faith as a power. And so we grab hold of our faith and we make something happen with our faith. I don't like that model, because I don't think that faith is a thing as much as it is a relationship of trust that recognizes that there's a God who performs miracles.
But without faith, Phil, without faith, yeah, then it doesn't transpire. You know, in other words, you can believe in what you believe. You can believe in the man in the moon. But if you don't have faith that that's going to happen, then, you know, do you think it's just going to arbitrarily? I mean, in other words, I believe God is a big enough God, in my belief, in my path, that he can perform whatever he wants despite me. It has nothing to do with me. But if I am called to pray for somebody, if I'm lifting somebody up, I believe that I have to have faith to if for instance you said, Joey, I want you to pray about something for me, okay? When I pray for you on that, I am going to see it as if it has happened. I'm going to believe that there's going to be a good outcome. Of course, there's situations that are not always the best outcome for us or for somebody else or whatever in our eyes, but let's just say that what we thought was going to happen maybe did not transpire, but doesn't mean that it wasn't the best outcome. It just means that it was different than what we had seen. But what I'm getting at is we have to have faith that something's going to transpire good out of that. You know, you can't
walk in
negativity.
Right. I'm not disagreeing with that. And I don't know that I identify with the term not walking in negativity. That's not a terminology that I would particularly use myself.
Okay.
When I say that faith is not a thing, what I mean is I do not believe that faith is a kind of force like some kind of wave that goes out in front of me and creates a difference. I don't think it is that kind of thing. I believe faith exists as a dynamic of total surrendered trust. I believe there is a God who can do anything, and I surrender to that, and it is a relationship of trust. But I don't think that when I believe, some kind of spiritual wave goes and goes out and hits something. I don't think of faith in that way. I think of faith as this relational dynamic of trust that I'm connected to God, kind of like father and son. And son says, my dad's bigger than your dad. hey, dad, can I have this? And it's this relationship of trust that enacts some kind of change. Help, dad. I need help. And dad comes and helps.
So that trust
right.
would be aligned. Let me see. I think we might be saying the same thing. However,
right.
maybe we're saying it a little bit differently, or I'm wording it differently. That
right.
trust comes with hope.
Of course.
Yeah.
Right.
Because
right.
Remember that scripture that I stated that you know so well. What is faith? Faith is a substance in our path. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, right?
Right, but it is not the things hoped for. It is this kind of grabbing hold of those things in such a way as to believe that they are there because of this dynamic of trust. When I say it is not a thing, I mean that in the sense that I don't think of it as a physical power changing something. It's more of an emotional and mental characteristic that grabs hold of the relationship with God.
My question is, do you think of it as
yeah.
a spiritual, part of a spiritual force? I mean, simply in talking of breaking bread, let's just talk about real quick. I don't want to get on a big Christian thing, so sorry.
Right,
but
right.
I just want to.
Right.
So talking on breaking bread in Christianity, we call it communion. And I know pagans
right.
do a form of. Okay. But there are some Christians that do not believe in the spiritual presence, they believe it's a memorial. I believe in the spiritual
right.
presence.
Right.
Then there are Roman Catholics that believe in transubstantiation. I don't believe
right,
in that.
Right.
Okay, but
yeah.
I do believe in a spiritual presence. Now, that spiritual presence comes from my belief in faith. My faith is released to believe that I am spiritually partaking.
Right. Well, for me, that's God who is present.
Well, of course it's God that's
faith.
Present.
Right. It's God that's present, not faith that is present in the sense of that presence you sense. Faith
but who,
is there
okay.
as something I faith is there as something that happens in me. But let me go into
but
contrast.
That's being empowered by God, right?
Right.
That's being empowered
right.
by your
Let me go into the contrast between magic and miracles and how I see it, and this perhaps will give an understanding. Now, within some paganism, and it's not within all of it, but and of course, a lot of people would really dislike Aleister Crowley's teachings. Many neo-pagans dislike some of his teachings on the force of will. In many spells, it's particularly in the Wiccan tradition, there are corresponding elements: the time of year, the chant to a certain god or goddess. Colors, smells, and bells, and you know, kind of all these dynamics going on. And then Aleister Crowley talked about the will as being a force. You push your will out to create change in the physical world. Some neo-pagans identify with that strongly. As Christians, we would have a tendency to say, no, my will is surrendered to God. I don't push it out there to change something. I cry out to God and believe that he is the miracle performer. You know, it's kind of like Peter, who says it's not by our own power that we did this, but it is Jesus who healed you.
Right. Of course.
But see, the idea of the magic is by force of will, I can perhaps enact a change. Now, it's not all pagans who will say that, and I think Lori's a little bit different. In that
Lori is different because Lori did not necessarily... Yeah, she didn't...
Right, but she's somewhere in between those two things where there's a my force of will and an enactment of this movement of God. In much of Christianity, it's a complete surrender and a look for the movement of God, kind of like Peter saying, it's not by anything that we've done, but by this miracle of Jesus. So that's the difference I'm saying when I say faith is not a thing in the same sense that the will is a thing that Aleister Crowley would have spoken of, that it comes out and goes kabam and it gets you, you know, kind of like playing Street Fighter, you know, the video game, and the guy goes, "Wah!" and he sticks his hands out, and this force comes out and hits somebody and knocks them over. I don't think of faith in that way. But Aleister Crowley did speak of the will in that same kind of way as being a power, and there's that distinction between miracles and magic along those lines. And so it's not something you can hear when we speak a prayer, necessarily, because you and I could say the same words, but one person have a different motivation for making it happen than another person. And so it would be that subtle difference between what is a miracle and what is attempted to be a miracle by God and a movement of magic by myself.
Okay, I got it. So now, so thank you for explaining that. So now let me ask you, when you, and let's, we have to move on because we only have 55 minutes left. But when you're saying a prayer, and you heard how I say a prayer,
right?
And I demonstrated how I do. Would you say your technique is similar? That would be a no.
Yes. No, it's not a yes. It's not a yes or a no.
Uh-huh.
Because for me,
yes.
I could say the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." You know, I could go through the Lord's Prayer, and I could do that every day. I could potentially do it multiple times a day. It's not the fact that I say something that's rote or not rote that makes it right or wrong. It's what happens inside of my heart. And I could also say, I do from time to time say the Lord's Prayer. Other times I take the Lord's Prayer and I break it down. Our Father who art in heaven, you who rules over the universe, looks
mm-hmm.
down upon us all, and cares for us all and created all things.
Mm-hmm.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, holy, perfect, and wonderful, hallowed be thy name. That holy, holy name, of which the Jews, they would write, and they wrote the book, and then they would throw the pen away because they wrote it that one time, and the pen was good only for writing the name once. That name that oftentimes they were afraid to speak because it was too holy to mess it up. Hallowed be thy name. You know that. Now, I could take that prayer and I could break it down like that. And other times, I could just be walking down the street and talking to God. Lord, I'm having a really hard time today. I'm struggling with so many different things. I've got debt. I've got difficult relationships going on around me. I just really need your help. And, you know, sometimes I could just scream at heaven and go, you know, all of these things are prayers. I tend to look at prayer as an everyday, every minute, breathing thing. Paul said, pray without ceasing. Sometimes it's silent and just reaches out of my heart toward God. Sometimes it's formal. Sometimes it's on my knees crying out for help.
It
has so many different expressions
right.
because I look at it as a relational thing. It's
right.
kind of having a close relationship with somebody else. In one moment, you go out and have dinner together,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of a gentle and gracious and wonderful
mm-hmm.
formal thing. And the next time you're telling jokes and slapping each other
mm-hmm.
on the back,
mm-hmm.
maybe
mm-hmm.
you're fooling around with each other. You know, it's a multifaceted thing.
Yeah. Well, I tend to agree with you. Prayer to me is an intimate thing. I tend to shy away from a lot of formal prayer simply because I was raised in a semi-liturgical Protestant denomination that we
yep.
recited those things. We recited the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed. We sang the Gloria. We sang the Doxology. I did this. I was raised I was in the choir. I mean, did this till I was blue in the face. After a while, it became nothing to me. You know what I mean? It was
right.
it was mumbo jumbo. It was I'm reciting the same thing over and over again. It was not real to me. That's why I
right.
stay away from that kind of stuff, because what I want is dialogue between me and the divine, and that's it.
Right.
And I'm not interested in anything that's contrived. And so you'll find this kind of funny, I'm sure, but sometimes I've even been in a situation where they have contrived prayers that have been written by other people, and I look at them and I'm like, this is not me. This is not coming from me. This is not where my heart is right now. And just because this has been laid out a certain way does not mean that this is speaking to me and this is not my heart cry. That's why I liked...
Right.
And I'm not trying to give a commercial to the program that you did with us, but that's why I like the Lectio Divina that you did on our show, because it took something, it took a passage, and then you were able to take that passage and relay what it meant to you. So then you were able to describe it, and you were able to verbalize it, and that's what it means to me. So anyway,
right.
thank you for explaining. I appreciate you explaining the whole reason for that. So, I appreciate that whole explanation, because I think that's been awesome. And I don't want Lori to feel like we've left her at all.
Right.
So I'm going to put you on hold, and I want to talk about, I'm going to bring Lori. She's going to join us. I think I'm going to have her join us right now. And,
absolutely.
I guess there might be other things that I want to know about, like what makes us stand out a little bit different. Okay, so here's something that somebody had asked about. Why do certain Christians wear black, and why do certain pagans wear black? And is there a difference... Is there a difference in that? So why don't Lori? We haven't heard from you in a while. So, and I know you wear black. So
I wear black all the time.
Do
why
you,
do I
you,
wear black?
Uh-huh.
It is the color that encompasses all colors, all rolled into one. Therefore, I have a rainbow on me. Black holds the energy in. Dalai Lama wears black. Catholic priests wear black. It is a color that is holding energy in. The white is when I want to work with the energy to give out. I will do that. I will wear white. I like to heal a child or do the little things that I like to do to make things better. But that's not the reason. The black holds our energy in. All day I work with a lot of the readings and everything, but black will hold the energy in much better for me.
So are there any times that you will not wear black? I mean, like, say, for instance, you're going to go out for a family dinner, right?
Yeah, I'll wear a color. I'm comfortable in my black clothes. But there's nothing to wear. It's a color of holding the energy in. It's not nothing that, I'm in a black sinister color. No. No,
right.
That's not where it's at. In fact, the shop that I have a lot of blue in it, light blue and
right.
and color. It's all light blue. You've seen it, Beth,
right? Right.
And it's not,
mm-hmm.
there hardly is any black in the shop outside, maybe
right.
chair. But that's about it. I wear black to hold the energy in. Why does a Catholic priest wear black? Hello. It's all the same thing. Dalai Lama wears black. All of them. Yeah. So it's nothing wrong. I like purple, too.
Do you? Well, you know, we had a bunch of callers that dropped off because I think they had been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and we kept talking and talking. So, right. Again, folks, those that are listening in now and those that will be hearing this on an archive, I am sorry that we weren't able. I did try to get to one person, and they were on another call, and then we had about 10 other callers waiting. But, again, if you need to reach Lori for a personal reading, you can reach her 978-741-9297. If you need to reach Phil, 978-744-8444. Again, 978-744-8444. Now, interestingly, I had heard these Jews speaking about the reason that they wear black was given to them by the Christians, and it was supposed to denote, something very sorrowful or something very dark, you know. And then I know that there are people that practice black arts and Satanism that actually wear black. And then I know that there are Christians that wear black. And I've actually...
Any friend of Zorro's is a friend of mine, too.
Yeah.
So Zorro wore black.
Yeah, probably.
Oh,
but, you know, but the thing is that... you know, I've heard even Christians talking about going, oh, that person's always in black, you know. Look at them, they're always in black, talking about somebody else that claims to be a Christian. I've seen whole choirs of people, of Christian choirs, dressed in black. So, you know, Phil, I'm wondering what your thought is on that. And, you know, I mean, I think that that person had a valid question. They wanted to know the difference between the way we view it versus the way maybe. So Lori's saying the way she views it, and I've heard other pagans say the same thing, that the black kind of absorbs all these different colors, and you're actually wearing a whole array of colors.
Mm-hmm.
So now you explain to me, do you have any thought on that color at all, or the differences?
Right, yeah. I know some people will say, well, wearing black is magic because it makes you look skinny.
Man, I should be wearing more of that right now after gaining 10 pounds. Shoot.
You're going to lose it.
But I do I wear black, though, so. Go ahead.
I do from time to time. I don't really pay a whole lot of attention to colors that I wear. That's not particularly except I really like to wear red shirts when Wales is playing rugby because I want to gotta support my Welsh team. When it comes to black in the clergy, as far back as the 6th century, regulations were passed forbidding the priests, the clerics of any kind, to wear fancy clothing, bright colors, extravagant, show-off type of things because they were pushing the dynamics of humility. Now, that could become legalistic, but it was part of, as far back as the 6th century, the 6th century, so in the 500s, this was already going on, and it would pop up from time to time. It came out as regulations within the canon law in the 13th century as well, that extravagant garments and looking all fancy was not something that priests should do, but that humility should be pushed. And so the tradition of wearing black has a great degree to do with that. Within Christian circles, very similar to the Puritan times, you know, this movement towards humility. I think that can go too far when we look at it from that perspective, but it comes from a noble position of saying, let's not, as ministers of the gospel, let's not be show-offs.
That's right.
That's
something
you
never want to do. But that is the that's a big part of the tradition of Black.
Interesting. Yeah, I remember growing up as a kid, our minister used to wear black in a Protestant organization, a denomination, mm-hmm. and it was viewed as something somber, something that portrayed humility. So it's interesting. Right. So we're hearing, so basically the difference on one end, we're hearing from Lori, you know what, black is, to me, absorbs all colors. So when I'm wearing black, it's absorbing all colors, and it's not just black, it's other colors that are in that, okay?
Right.
Then we're also hearing that from the Jews, some Jews view it as it was viewed as, you know, there's some outcasts there, there's some people that, you know, that are viewed kind of, you know, like the, whatever you want to call them, and it creates maybe an appearance of sorrow or mourning or something that's outside of the norm. Then
right.
we're hearing that black in some Christian circles really denotes humility, so it's kind of interesting. So there's a lot of different variations there. So it does express. The differences. So thanks for that. Now I'm going to put you guys on hold really quick because this person called in earlier and I tried to get to them. So hopefully they have an additional comment to what we're discussing. So area code 617-752, you're back on and you're back here. So are you there? Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello. Who am I speaking to?
My name is Gary Gregory.
Hey, Gary. And so what is on your mind tonight?
I find it quite interesting that a lot of people watch too much TV and think witches are like these evil people when they're not.
Okay.
And I also find it quite interesting that the three of you are basically all agreeing you may be calling your God a different name or have a different ritual, but it's all basically the same thing.
I see. Yeah. And do you mind if I ask you what path you're on?
I was a Christian and I became a witch.
I see. So would you consider yourself a neo-pagan? Or would you consider yourself, when you say witch, that could mean various things, so.
Well, I follow the Strega.
Okay.
Which is old time religion.
Okay. All right. And you were a Christian, meaning you were Roman Catholic, or you were Protestant, or something else, or?
Well, actually, I was raised Protestant and Catholic, because my father was Catholic, my mother was Protestant. And because of my father, I had to be a Catholic, but I had to go to both churches.
Mm-hmm. I see. So what is your biggest, let me ask you, we're talking about differences, okay? On our first show, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to that, we talked a lot about commonalities. And we have talked about some common things that we have in common as well. But you've been on both sides. So to you, what would be maybe the biggest differences that you're seeing?
Well, I don't know if I can say it on the air, but...
Well, let me ask, if it's something that's bad or offensive, it probably wouldn't be good to say it on the air. If it's something that would offend nobody then go for it. I'll leave it in your hands there.
Basically, they're all very, very good. Don't get me wrong. I don't hate one or the other. I actually like them all. But with the pagan religion, there's not, I can word this delicately, there's not so much money involved.
Okay, there's not so much money?
Money involved. Like when I was going to the Catholic Church, I got sent home with a letter that you had to give so much money for each member of the family. in the pagan community, you don't have to give anything.
Right. And, you know, there's communities within Christianity that they do not ask for anything either. You know that.
Yes.
So there
yes.
are. There
like the
are.
Protestants don't.
Well, yeah. And, you know, again, greed, let's go back to what, you know, Lori was talking about, and Phil was talking about, I was talking about, probably what you talked about. Greed is unfortunate, and greed manifests itself in many different ways, and money is one of those ways. You know, you can use money for good, and you can use it for evil, right? And, you know, money does not, you know, God does not dwell in buildings. The Spirit does not dwell in buildings. You can build cathedrals till you're blue in the face.
But you can go out in the woods and do the same thing.
Right, but it's immaterial because, you know, why don't you take that money? This is why I'm not Catholic. You know, I mean, 90% of my family from Italy and from Spain converted from being Roman Catholic. But I will tell you this. Bless the Catholic people. But I think that it's wonderful what this new Pope is doing because of the fact he's saying, you know what, enough is enough with all this pomp and circumstance. Why don't you take that money that you were going to spend on this big, you know, party for me, big whatever you call it, inauguration, whatever it was, and why don't you take that money and feed the poor, you know?
Well, I actually had a problem with that when I was a kid. In catechism, they wanted to ask us children, can you think of any ways that we can raise money besides the baking off and bingo and all that stuff? So
right,
I raised my hand, and I said, well, I know how they could feed everybody. And she said, oh, really? How? And I said, if you sell all the gold crosses, all the jewelry, all the fancy stuff that the Catholic churches have, you could feed everyone. Mm-hmm. I got smacked across the face.
Now,
knocked
interesting,
to the floor.
Right. Interesting that you said that. Now, I'm going to have to take a commercial break here, but interesting that you said that because I heard Lori Bruno talking about this very thing. She wears a lot of jewelry because back in old times, many times to help other people, you would take that jewelry and you would give it to them or sell it, you know, to give out to the individual in need to help people. You know what I'm saying? So basically, you're kind of saying the same thing is, you know, you do more good by, you know, taking down all that stuff and selling it and giving it away to people that are in need. And I think that's really what our heart cry is. So anyway, I want to thank you for your input. I'm going to silence you now, and I'm going to, and I really appreciate your input because I think it was just a nice touch, and I know you were there earlier and you were very patient. So thanks so much for sharing with us. That was awesome. So folks, you are listening to Live from the Bay with Joey. This is part two with Lori Bruno and Phil Wyman and myself, and we're, you know, the name of this series really is Pagans and Christians, Oh My, and really we've been touching on things that make us a little bit different tonight. So this is a little bit different than our last show, but really, you know, our last caller really kind of said, you know, you guys are saying very similar things too, and yes, there are some similarities in what we are saying and what we believe, but yes, there are some differences as well. So I'm going to talk about another thing that is on both sides and the differences on this. So here we come. The next thing we're going to talk about is curses. Ooh, curses. So I am going to bring Lori Bruno back on with me. And Lori, we're going to talk about this area of curses and what some people in that practice paganism or Wicca or what have you. I'm not saying that you necessarily do this, Lori, so understand that. But let's give me an idea of what this might mean in that community, and then we're going to talk about it in the Christian community as well. So, and maybe the differences there. So, you're on.
Hello. Well,
hello.
I have a little bit of hello, Joey. About curses, I think the worst thing a person could have is guilt if they hurt somebody. Okay. And that guilt, when they know they've hurt someone, starts to manifest a whirlwind around them. So in essence, they're not cursed, but it's by their own action coming back to them and slapping them in the face. When you do an evil and you look in the mirror, that's your own worst curse. That was said to me many years ago, not only by my parents, but by Leo Louis Martello. And he was quite a fellow. And he was a Stregone of the First Order. Well, it's like this. I don't waste my time on cursing people. They're quite adept at doing that to themselves. The mirror effect. You want to curse me? You want to hurt me? Oh, go right ahead. Your own worst curse is yourself, my dear. And that has to go with you from year to year. You hurt me, it's your own guilt and your own hurt that will hurt you. Yes, people go through times of negativity. Oh, yes, they do. But that doesn't mean that they have a curse on them. They go to certain individuals, okay, give me $10,000, I'll take the curse off of you. Oh, please, spare yourself. Go out and out, do an act of kindness. And you'll see, the negativity will lift off of you. No, I don't waste my time cursing people. I have no time for it, nor do I want to have the time, because the word repercussion, what you reap, you sow, and that is
absolutely
not too good. Not
absolutely
too nice to do. No, I don't curse people.
That's awesome.
That's a no-no.
Well, yeah, it is a no-no. I heard this guy, he was from, let's just say he was from a Latin country, and he poofed himself up. He was a witch, and he was this, and he was that. And
yeah.
He said that he, and, you know, just looking at him, Lori, you could tell that he wasn't walking in light. You could just see it. You could see it in his countenance. You could see it in his eyes. You could see it. And he said the following. He said, in Spanish, he said, I read. Do you understand? I read. People come to me and they pay a lot of money. I have well-known celebrities from the United States. I have this one. I have that one. They come to me. Now, if somebody wants me to curse somebody, I will do that. And they have to pay, but I will do that. And he said, now, if you come to me and you try to rip me off, I will curse you. And I just listened to him, and I was like, you know what? It's time for you to go away, and I'm turning my channel because I don't want any of your stuff, any of your energy, any of your thoughts infiltrating or engulfing my space.
Keep yourself to yourself.
Yeah. This is why I even say to people, I have friends that will go to movies and they'll go see scary movies and they'll go, Joey, you don't want to go. And I go, why do I want to see that? Why do I want to subject myself to that? You know, so I can be freaked out. I don't need to be freaked out. You know what? I don't need that because you know what I'm talking about. Phil knows what I'm talking about. When we are working in the spiritual realm, we have to encounter that enough. I don't need to see it. I don't need to see it on a big screen.
You mean spiritual paka? Paka is out there.
Yeah.
The best book,
listen
to me. I read many years ago, and this is one of the first books I tell people before they get into the psychic world and want to learn. A woman by the name of Dionne Fortune, D-I-O-N, Fortune. Her real name was Violet Firth, wrote a wonderful book called Psychic Self-Defense. When people get into the psychic world, they open the door, and there's some kind of always negative caca that keeps coming towards you.
Right.
This book has taught me, and taught many people, how to protect themselves. She was also a Christian, incidentally. But she knew that there was something more out there than just the mundane.
And what, yes. What's the name of the book again?
Psychic Self-Defense by Dion, D-I-O-N, Fortune, F-O-R-T-U-N-E. And it was written in 1921.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic book. So, you know, when you put the force of light, every day I go out and I say, above me, below me, behind me, around me, surround me, O Michael Archangel, with your heavenly light. Your sword protect me both day and night. It's a very wonderful prayer. And yes, it is a prayer. O Michael Archangel, Prince of the Heavenly Host, defend us in battle. It's on the internet if you want to pick it up.
Oh, I've already seen it. It's
I keep it with me all the time.
Yeah, it's a pretty heavy duty prayer.
Too.
Right. It's
I have a scapula heavy. I made of it.
Right.
Oh yeah. I made my own scapula of it. See a scapula. Oh my God, a witch is wearing a scapula. Yes, we invented them, my dears. The Magi always had them. The Magi have always had the scapulas.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I am different than most of the crafts you see out there. Because my family's hereditary. It dates way back, even into the Holy Land.
Right.
That I will tell you. Far more than you can even comprehend. I've traced it back. We did exist. The coat of arms of my family held a secret in it. And if you ever see it, Joey, you'll understand what I'm talking about. And you too, Master Phil. Yes, the Magi do exist. They've always
right.
existed. They've been members of an ancient craft. They're there to protect. They're there to heal. They're there to do. This world
right.
needs it now. The world doesn't need what you or I or anybody can do. It needs its faith back to heal it. To heal it back from the degenerates that have tried to ruin you with the filth and the garbage that's out there. The drugs. The illicit relationships that they say, oh, this is wonderful. No, it's not wonderful. It's a degradation of the soul. Clean yourselves up. Whether you're craft, whether you're Christian, Jew, Muslim, clean it up. And I'm not saying an inquisition. Do your own inquisition to yourselves. Make yourselves whole. This whole world is going to caca right now if it doesn't. I'm sorry, I just had to say what I have to say.
No, man, I think you need to.
Tonight.
I think I'm going to call you an evangelist pretty soon.
No, I'm not an evangelist.
No, but what I'm saying
no,
is...
No. I
no,
don't
no.
shove my belief on
no,
anyone.
No, I know you don't. I know.
I do
but
not.
I do not. When I'm saying evangelist, I don't mean the ones that are on the street corner screaming their heads off. That's not what
no.
I mean. But...
I want everyone
you,
to
more
walk
of a,
in a
let's,
light
let's,
that
let's
they
use a nicer. Let's use a nicer word, okay? This is a word that I like to walk in. Let's just say a prophetic word, okay?
Yes.
A prophetic word speaks out forth, right?
Yes.
And it is a warning to people many times. And so I think people need to heed that, and I thank you for that. So I didn't think that was out of line at all. You
no,
spoke
you
it
could
from your heart.
Evangelist.
You spoke
okay.
it from your heart. You spoke
the
it from
heart.
Your heart.
I want everyone with the very will I have. The will I have is to see our world be whole and better, to walk with the light, to go to your politicians and say, hey, stop killing, stop hurting. And it says, what is it doing? The war machine is the cash machine. Stop it.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about, Joey.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing your thoughts on curses. And because now I'm going to talk a little bit about what I've actually heard, even within Christian realms, of people that I've heard actually curse. And so I've heard this, and it is not something that I like. Actually, it kind of shocked me. I saw one gentleman who was on the air, and he was, a televangelist, and I wouldn't even say he was an evangelist. Let's just say he was a television personality that was doing things in the name of God and whatever, and I'm not coming against what his ministry is nor what he is, but I am saying that I didn't much appreciate his cursing of people that came against what he's doing, and he cursed them. It was just shameful to me. I'm of the belief if you curse me, I kind of, you know, I stand back and I just say, you know, as what you so you shall reap. And this is my thought to thee. So when you curse anybody, and Lori was sharing this, and Phil, I'm sure, is going to share the same thing. When you curse people, it comes back to you, you know, and it's not a good thing. And I don't think any of us believe in that. And so when people do that to me, or they run negative stuff my way, which there's a lot of haters out there. There's haters in everything. You know, you just let it slide. You just go, okay, so let it be, you know. But realize that when you come against me, you're coming against a greater force, because there's somebody that I believe in that fights my battles far greater than I could ever fight my battles. So you're going to have to contend with that. So that's my 5 cents. I don't curse people. If somebody wishes ill on me, or what have you, you know, they're gonna deal with their own stuff. So they're cursing themselves, just as Lori said as well. So now we're gonna hear from Pastor Phil. And folks, I see that a lot of you have called back in. I will try to take a couple of your calls before we end. We are going to have to do a part three rather soon. So you can hear me, Lori and Phil. We're going to have to do a part three real soon here. But let's go back to Phil, and we've got about 15 minutes left of this show. So, Phil, I know we've talked a lot, but what are your – I kind of want to know what your thoughts are on this whole cursing thing.
Hey, you can hear me now, right?
Yep.
Okay. I've run into this quite a bit here in Salem with Christians who use a curse as some means of trying to see the miraculous occur or God's blessing come upon the city. So I've heard a lot of Christians in a variety of churches curse the witchcraft community, curse their stores, curse their works, curse their symbols, curse their gatherings, want to drive them out of town, ask God to dry it up and make it so that, you know, they don't prosper and they leave town, hoping that it will create a more holy environment in Salem. I don't see that mentality as being the kind of mentality that we ought to have. Even if we disagree with something, I don't see cursing as the, in a retaliatory kind of way, God go get him as the thing to do. I think God is always about redemption and caring and loving and reaching out and including people into the family of faith. And I don't think we do that by cursing others. We do see Jesus curse the fig tree. We do see Paul speak to the false prophet, and he's blind for a season. We see Ananias and Sapphira fall as dead. But I think the moments in which something like that happened are so rare that we have to consider ourselves to be children of light and grace and giving. You know, so when James and John wanted to call down fire on the city after they wouldn't listen to him, Jesus told them, "You don't know what spirit you are of." They weren't of the spirit of cursing. They weren't of the spirit of judgment. They were the spirit of giving and of grace and love. So I think that's something we need to note for ourselves.
Yeah, I agree. I think the best combat of this, you know, to combat this a lot of times, and I think I've talked to you about it, I've talked to Lori about it too. You know, when people do this to me, and I've mentioned this because, you know, this has fired my way, and I'm sure it's fired your way, Phil, and it's fired Lori's way, and I just bless people. I go, you know what, if that's what you, I bless them. Because, you know, they have to be, you know, you have to feel sorry for their souls, really, that they're doing something like this. And we really don't want to do that. We're of a different people. We're not to do that. That's not a good thing. So a lot of times these people that I've heard as Christians that have cursed, I've heard them curse other Christians that have come against them. And I'm like, wow. You know, that's pretty heavy duty. I don't want anything to do with that, so I stay away from that. So anyway, I thank you for that. Yeah, I thank you for that. I'm going to come back to you. We have a lot of calls. We have tons and tons and tons. And folks, if I cannot get to you today, you will need to call back. We're going to have a part three really soon. But if there is something that you want to add to this conversation, please do so. If you're simply, we're not doing a, you know, a spiritual reading show. So if you want to reach, if you want to reach Lori, or you want to reach Phil, or you want to reach me, again, Lori's number would be 978-741-9297. Phil's number, 978-744-8444. My address, livewithjoey@hotmail.com. And Phil, I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to come back to you shortly to have to back you and Lori for some final thoughts. And I am going to try to take one or two calls here. Hold on. So again, folks, if there's something that you want to add, please do. I'm going to go to area code 908. And I believe it's 908-601. Are you there? Hello? So that caller is not there. We will go to the next call. Area code 614-579. If there's something that you would like to add, please do so. Hello?
Hi. My name is Little Jimmy Russells, and I get cursed at school by other Christians for being slow.
Okay. For being what?
For being slow.
For being slow? Okay.
And I see them in church, and they bully me at the backyard of the church.
Okay. So what I would say to you is this, and I have to get to all these other calls too, but, you know, and I would trust that you're calling with a, you know, with an open heart here, and that this is if you are encountering this type of harassment, this type of prejudice, you know, I understand, because many people are in their daily life, people criticize, and there's disrespect on all ends. It seems like this is, and you know, actually Lori was talking about that too. Our society is really going down fast, because there's a lot of people that's all they want to do is they're haters, or they don't have anything nice to say about somebody. With whatever it is that's different, that may have a handicap, whatever the case may be, you know what? You just separate yourself from people like that. You're above them, and you just separate yourself from them. So anyway, thank you for calling, and I am going to now area code 774 if there's something that you want to add.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hi. So about last week, my friend passed, and I've been dealing with it pretty bad. Do you mind praying with me?
No. What is your friend passed?
Yes.
Is that what
he
you
passed.
Said? Okay. And go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Go ahead.
No, what were you going to say?
Oh, well, I don't know. I've been having suicidal tendencies and all. He goes by the name of Moot. That's what we call him. That's his nickname, is Moot. I just wanted to know if we could pray on the show with you.
Yeah.
Okay, Phil, are you there?
I'm here. What's your name?
We will pray with you.
Yeah, what is your name?
My name is Ryan.
Ryan? Okay. And Moot was your friend who passed away?
Yes.
Yeah.
Lord,
you guys...
watch over, and lady, watch over the soul of Moot. carry him there to safety. Help your dear brother here, Mood, understand that you are in the light. He is in the light, Ryan.
You guys are pretty close, Ryan.
He really liked his mud kit. That's all I really wanted, is just his mud kit. He really liked it. And I next to me right now, it's his mud kit, and he grew it from a tiny little that after he fucked his couch and gave it her.
Okay, you know what? I've just disconnected you. You know, this is not. We don't need to take a call like this. So, anyway,
that was a Pokemon joke.
Yeah. So anyway,
what are you doing there?
Yeah, that was
uncool.
Yeah, that was uncool. So let's go to area code 908, and if there's something that you want to add. Okay, so I guess some of these people are actually calling in, and, you know, it's unfortunate that somebody had to call and leave a message like that. And
don't worry about it.
Yeah.
We'll put them in the right anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to have you guys, let's go out, like, we have about five more minutes here that we can really talk, and I want you to, like, give me some of your thoughts, your final thoughts that you have, Phil and Lori, so that you might have on what the subject that we were talking about tonight.
Okay. I feel that all things that we have spoke tonight about validate everything that's going on in this universe, that we all have to be brothers and sisters and create the light so that we can survive in this world today, so that the world will be the future of the little ones that are coming, that we all will learn to love each other, put away the difference and our faiths, and learn to love and care. That's what's necessary. Never mind making $40 million and that. What is it for? What does it prize you if you have all these things and yet lose your soul? Your soul is everything. The soul is that which makes men and womankind survive. And this is where you have to make decisions in your life. Can I make this world a better place to live in? And the last day of my life, did I make somebody breathe a little easier because I lived upon this earth? Did I leave it better for one person, one being, one animal, whatever? Did I make my mark in caring, and the caring and love of humanity and our universe? I leave you with these thoughts, my dear people. Understand, yes, you can make a difference by being caring and loving to all, not only caring and loving to people who can do for you. What can you do for them? I love you all. Let's sit down.
Okay. Thank you, Lori. Okay, and Pastor Phil, what are your final thoughts?
I've spent a good large portion of my life to dealing with issues of difference between people. I think in our world today we have a tendency to want to only talk about the things that are similar between us. But I'm not convinced that similarity is either where the beauty of life is, nor am I convinced that it's the place that deep understanding is found. This world isn't a beautiful place because everything looks the same. this world is a beautiful place because everything is so varied and so different, so wildly different. On the same hand, differences are not always a beautiful thing. Sometimes they can be ugly. Sometimes they can be difficult. But when it comes to relationships, if we're only talking about the things that we agree on, then we really don't understand one another. What makes a one culture different from another, or unique from another? What makes a culture stand out is the things that it's different about. I've spent a lot of time over the last number of years getting to know the Welsh language, the Welsh culture. It is the things that are different that make it so beautiful to me. And when I'm dealing with another religion, like the differences between Christianity and neo-paganism, for me to understand those differences is extremely important. It helps me respect people, understand people. I don't have to agree with all the beliefs of neo-paganism and say that they're the same as my Christianity. In fact, if I don't understand how we're different, I don't think I really understand my neo-pagan friends at all. Now,
right.
And so for me, for us to sit down at the table and say, let me understand how you're different than me is oh so important. And that's even for I'm gonna put a plug in for the word evangelist. The word evangelist came up a bit ago. There was a point in time when the word witch, in fact it still is today, many people think the word witch is a terrible word, and other people want to revive that word and say, no, I want that to be what I'm a witch, and I don't want you to look at that as negative. Evangelist is supposed to mean one who brings good news. How on earth has that become a terrible word? Because a combination of people misusing it and culture abusing it. Why should he who brings good news be looked at as somebody who's causing trouble? It's because of an abuse of the word. But it's those issues of how we are so different that sometimes is the beauty, but it's also the place at which we can understand one another and learn and grow and move toward truth together.
Right.
So I want to encourage people to intelligently begin to dialogue about the differences that we have and do it without anger.
That's awesome. Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, whenever I make it to Salem, we all of us, you and I and Lori, need to sit down and we'll just chat and get some beer and pizza or whatever, and we'll have a good old time. And you know what it's about is we have to understand each other. And this is why I think it's so cool that we've done this, and I think Lori agrees too. Because we're able to understand each other. And you know what?
Right.
Just as Lori may not agree with what I believe in or what Phil believes in, she respects that, and vice versa. And like what Phil said, how are we going to learn if we don't understand? How do you understand somebody if you don't know where they're coming from? So that being said, you know, we got about 3 minutes to wrap it up here. But, you know, again, I want to thank both of you because this has been enjoyable. I know a lot of people are going to get a lot out of this, and you know, when they replay it in the archives, it's going to bless them, and they're going to understand how important it is not only to know what we agree on but what we do not agree on, because if you don't understand that, you're not going to be able to reach that person, and you're not going to be able to understand why they feel the way they feel if you do not understand the differences. It's important to understand that. We're going to have to do part three.
That was
just like I'm doing with the Sephardic Jews, and as you can hear, we have about 90 seconds. So I want to thank you guys again, and I'm gonna say that. Right now, I'm going to have to put everybody on mute here as we end this show. But again, folks, we want to thank you. This show is in the archives. And again, I want to thank you for joining us today. Be sure you listen again. And this is Joey wishing you a great night. And again, looking forward to the next time. Make sure you listen to the show in the archives, too, because that's where it's going to be. And listen up for the part three, which should be coming soon. Okay? So thanks again. Take care. Make it a great night. Okay?
Thank you for joining us today on Live from the Bay with Joey.